Only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday already edition of It's Your Turn. Another beautiful day. It was gorgeous yesterday, wasn't it? We hit the mid-60s. We should see upper 60s today. So a little bit warmer, a little bit above normal, and pretty nice with all that sunshine out there. Enjoy. We're in the midst of a nice stretch of three or four sunny days in a row. So enjoy it while we have it. Guests later on the program today, we're going to be chatting with Melissa Leedy from the North Pittsburgh Regional Chamber. We'll have a guest from St. Barnabas Health System as well. But first on the program, we're going to be talking about Toastmasters International, specifically the Early Bird Toastmasters Club here in Butler. And a longtime member of that club, Walter Jay, is with us here in the studio. Walt, good to see you again.
Thanks, Dave. It's good to be back on your show.
It's been a while since we got together. Several years now, huh?
About a dozen.
Yeah. My engineer tells me I need you a little bit closer to that microphone there.
Okay, we can do that.
That's good. So I imagine most of our listeners have heard about Toastmasters International, but they may not understand just what it is. So maybe we should start right there. How would you describe Toastmasters to someone who had no idea what the club was about?
Well, it is a worldwide organization in over 143 countries, and it's designed to help people improve their communication and leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
By practical application in a weekly or biweekly meeting.
143 countries. You've got the globe pretty well covered there. That's got to be almost every country, huh?
It's pretty darn close. Yeah, it was under 100 when I joined about 17 years ago, so it has grown significantly.
Mm-hmm. Any idea, ballpark figure, of how many clubs there are around the world?
Over almost 17,000.
Oh, wow.
Over 16,800, so...
So you're a member, a longtime member, obviously, of the Early Bird Toastmasters
Early
Club
Bird.
Here in Butler.
Yes.
I take it you meet early in the morning.
Well, yes. We got our name. We meet Saturday mornings, the second and fourth Saturday of the month, 7:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But by 9 o'clock, you're out, you feel good, you feel ready to tackle the world, and you've learned something, and it's a good process to come out of.
So a couple of times a month you get together.
Yes. Yeah,
you have an event coming up that we should mention straight away here, just in case, especially for somebody listening in the car that's, you know, pulling into the mall or the shopping center. What do you have coming up later this month?
We've got an open house on the 26th, October 26th, at the Butler YMCA. It's a chance to come in and kick the tires, so to speak, see if Toastmasters is right for you, and more importantly, to see how it can help you. There's mm-hmm. a lot of things it can offer, and you got to be comfortable. So come visit our club for free and have a snack and see what you can learn.
And this would be at your regular 7:30 a.m. meeting time?
7:30 a.m. meeting time, correct.
Saturday the 24th, so that's a couple of Saturdays down the road.
Yeah, you'll be out by 9 o'clock, so you have a chance to still get anything else done you need to get done that day.
Mm-hmm.
So a good time to come in and see what it's all about.
And we might point out that obviously it's men and women in the club, right?
Men, women, kids, you have to be 18 to actually be a member.
Mm-hmm.
But I have brought my sons when they were younger to the club, and we have a gal that brings her daughter to the club, and they can participate a little bit. But you have to be 18 to at least join.
How long has Toastmasters International been around? Do you know when it was founded?
Actually, 1924.
Yeah.
It's estimated they've helped over 4 million people improve their communication and leadership skills since then.
Be coming up on the centenary here in another few years. You have
yes,
to have,
they
a big, have a big party, 100th birthday.
They are planning it. They've moved their headquarters to Colorado, and it's going to be quite a celebration when they have it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
What about the local Early Bird Toastmasters Club? How long has that been around?
We've been around almost 62 years.
Wow.
It's a well-established club. It's very well known, and we've had people from all walks of life come through it.
Mm-hmm. So, bottom line, you're trying to help individuals be more comfortable and be better public speakers.
There's probably two or three main things we do. A lot of people are afraid to speak in front of public. They don't know what to do. So we help them understand that you need those butterflies that you have in the belly, but you need to learn to fly them in formation so you can overcome that fear of public speaking. And if you don't have that problem, then we can help you become a more effective communicator, and which can also help you in business. And then we also have a leadership track, which, again, can help you in personal life and in business.
A lot of folks might be thinking, well, I don't do that. That's not a particularly important part of my career or my personal life. Walt, in this day and age, at some point or another, everybody's going to have to get up, even if it's to talk before a few people in a club or a church group or anywhere like that. I mean, this could be very helpful for anybody, really.
It can help in a lot of ways. You mentioned in front of a church group, you have to be a reader, for example. You can do a lot more comfortable and be a lot more effective with how you communicate. I've had to give my father-in-law's eulogy. Oh, that was a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But Toastmasters helped me get through that. I know personally in sales, it's helped me become a better listener so I can hear what my customers are actually saying so I can tailor my program or my products to what they need. It's helped a lot of different areas. Yeah, everybody can use something from it.
So you said you really need a few butterflies before a presentation to put you right on the edge, right, and ready to go, huh?
It makes it more fun, and yes, I think it keeps it more real. If you've practiced so much that there's no butterflies, you probably shouldn't give that speech.
I had a friend, the late Margaret Howard, Peg Howard, who I knew through the Butler Little Theater, and she was a bit of a mentor for me for a few years. And she had, it would be impossible to count how many local shows she had been in, you know, on stage at the Butler Little Theater. She was one of the founding members back in 1941. Wow. And she told me one time, I still have this delightful fear every time I'm ready to walk on stage. And I was astonished because, you know, she'd probably done 100 shows by that time. And I loved her turn of a phrase. I have this delightful fear.
I might borrow that phrase. That's a great phrase. It is a delightful fear, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you said you need a couple of butterflies, I thought of that right away because that's what she said. You know, I love to do this. It's great fun. But there's always just a little bit of trepidation, a few butterflies when you're ready to go.
Right.
You become effective when you're able to use that to your advantage to keep you on point, but you can deal with it. You're ready to go. You're ready to be effective.
Yeah, you learn to not let them distract you and get you into a worried position. Instead, you use that as an energetic and motivational position so then you can help your audience understand or get the points that you're trying to make.
What do you think, listeners? Sound like something that you might be interested in, or maybe you know somebody in your family or your circle of friends who you think might be able to benefit by joining the Early Bird Toastmasters Club here in Butler. They meet twice a month, Saturday mornings at 7:30. And you meet at the Butler Family YMCA?
Butler YMCA, yep. You'll see good signs when you show up. You'll know right where to come.
Mm-hmm. And that's where your open house is on Saturday the 24th.
The 26th.
26th, I'm sorry. 7:30 in the morning.
7:30 in the morning.
Do you need to make a reservation or can you just come if you're interested?
Just show up. Yeah, you'll have a good time. We'll have some snacks there and get to meet a few people. It's business casual, but we have people come in jeans. It's not a big deal. Just show up and see what it's about.
And no commitment or anything like that?
Nope. No. Free to come. You're willing to come as many times as you want before you have to join. You don't have to join. It's just an opportunity. So
take us through what would happen at a typical Toastmasters Club meeting here in Butler at the Y on a Saturday morning at 7:30. What would be the agenda? What would happen?
Well, we'd have a Toastmaster that would be the MC for the day. And remembering the idea is to give as many speaking opportunities as possible. We have someone come up and give a pledge and say a prayer. We have someone that gives a little bit of humor, someone that gives us a word of the day, and then we get into the prepared speeches. And this is where you give a 5 to 10 minute presentation, depending which project you're working on, and you've prepared that, and you give the speech, and we time it, and we have someone evaluate you. And then once we get through the prepared speeches, we have a impromptu speaking. We call it table topics, where someone pulls a topic out of the air and throws it at you, and you have to speak on your feet. You have to think quick. You have to kind of learn how to put a quick speech together. For example, if your boss were to stop you in the hall and ask you how that project's going, you don't want to stumble around. You want to be able to have a good answer. Mm-hmm. So after table topics, we take a little break, and then we evaluate all the different segments, as well as time. Everybody, and I hate to say it, but we also count your ahs and your ums.
Yes, that's good.
It's good because awareness is very important. If you're going to become better, you have to become aware of what you're doing and not doing and not knowing what you're doing. So the evaluations are a very important part for us to give a chance to give constructive criticism and still give praise. And we clap a lot. Your hands are hurt at the end because we clap for everybody. But it's a great thing when you at the end, you say, okay, I can use what they've told me and I can become better for next time.
I was most fortunate, Walt, when I was in high school. I got, almost accidentally, I got involved in an extracurricular activity. It was called National Forensics League, NFL, not National Football League, NFL, National Forensics League. I don't know whether that still exists in high schools these days or not, but I got involved with it almost by accident when I was in high school, and it was a tremendous experience. We traveled pretty much every other Saturday to different high schools. So we'd get in the school van and head off to this high school or that high school, and there would be a competition with other students from other high schools. And there were various categories. There was prepared speech. There was debate. And there was impromptu. They called it extemporaneous.
Extemporaneous, yes.
And that's what I did. You know, you could select where you wanted to compete. And I kind of specialized in extemporaneous speaking. And it was a tremendous growth thing for me. I mean, you picked a topic out of a fishbowl.
Right.
And then you could go off to the side. You had 5 minutes to prepare a little two-minute talk on it. And then you had to go, you know. And there were judges sitting out there who critiqued you afterwards. Right. And it was, I didn't realize it at the time, what a valuable life experience that was for me.
And do you think it might have had some influence on where you are today?
Well, it could have, although I didn't start out majoring in broadcast journalism. I switched to that midway through my undergraduate career, but yes, it probably had an effect, that's for sure.
That's great.
I mentioned judging. Do you do judging? Do you do constructive criticism of the speaking during the Toastmasters Club meetings?
Yeah, there's a lot of structure that we didn't talk about, but there are manuals and projects, and there are certain things you're judged on in that speech. I might be doing vocal variety. I might be doing gestures. And so the evaluator will judge you on ideally that criteria that you're supposed to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years or over the time as you add all these different judging, you know, selective projects together, you come out to a well-rounded speaker is the idea. So, yeah. And we also have contests once a year where we can become the National Speaker of the Year, the international champion. And that's a fun thing, too. You can learn a lot through competition.
Do people stay in the club for a long period of time? You said you've been there for 17 years.
I'm one of the Doyen members. We have a gentleman that has a barbershop here in town. He's been there about, I think, 30 years. So there are a few people that stay there a long time. There are other people that come in. They get what they need in a year or two, and they can pass on, and that's fine. People move away, join clubs in other areas. So it varies. There's not one type of membership. We're all doing our own thing.
And obviously you have a mix of men and women?
Yes, yes. Pretty even in our club.
Hmm. Yep. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more about the open house coming up later this month for the Early Bird Toastmasters Club here in Butler. We'll pick up our conversation with Walter Jay. Just a couple of minutes here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Do you have a discount card at your favorite food store to get special savings? Compassionate Certification Center is here to get you a medical marijuana card, because with a medical card, prices are half what you'd pay elsewhere. Don't get stuck paying double for your medical or recreational marijuana. Recreational states charge double if you are not a medical patient. Be ahead of the game. Visit cccregister.com and in three easy steps, get your card. cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085.
Welcome back, listeners. We're talking about the Early Bird Toastmasters Club here in Butler. If you'd like to learn more about what happens at Toastmasters and maybe get involved to just see what's cooking. They have an open house coming up at their meeting Saturday, October 26th, 7:30 in the morning at the Butler County Family YMCA here in Butler on North Washington Street. You know, Walter Jay is with us. He's a longtime member of the Early Bird Toastmasters. It's amazing how many even well-known national figures are not particularly good speakers. I can remember once when I was very young, I was in undergraduate school, I believe, but I went to see Ralph Nader speak. Mm. Ralph Nader, who was an activist.
Oh, yes.
Still around, I think, although you don't hear much from him anymore. But I went to hear him speak, and he was horrendous. Mm. As a public speaker. Now, I'm not talking about his ideas, whether you agree with him or not. Right. That's neither here nor there. It was just his stage presence, which was practically nil. Mm. He was pretty bad. I can remember once I saw Linda Ronstadt, the singer, extremely talented in a number of different genres of music, whether it's big band sound or pop music or whatever. Zero stage presence. Zero. I mean, snappy patter between songs or something like that. Nothing. And I'm thinking, my gosh, she's rich, she's famous. Can't she get a coach to help her a little bit, or cue cards or something like that?
Right.
My point is, you can really make a bad impression by not being comfortable in front of people, even if it's a small group. And you can make a very good impression, too, very easily.
It's not always about the information you have. It's sometimes it's how you present it.
Yeah.
If you do it with confidence, which is one of the bigger things you get from Toastmasters, how to speak with confidence. And so you're not hemming and hawing and ah and. You're just saying what you have to say because you try to say it as a concise manner as possible.
What's the recommendation by Toastmasters, incidentally, that you use cards with ideas on them? As opposed to, they don't recommend reading a speech, do they, when you're up in front of people? Because I wouldn't recommend that.
I would not recommend that. When you try to read a speech and you miss a word, you get incredibly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You lose your space, and you could blow the whole speech. What we really recommend is become very familiar with the topic. Memorize a sentence or two opening. Have points you want to make that you can speak around those. And then you have a memorized ending that you want to kind of finish with. And if you do that, you can have a structure that you can still allow yourself to be in the moment, but still get your points across. But you know where you're starting and where you're ending, because that's very important to get those two close.
Strong beginning, strong ending.
You got it.
Strong beginning to get people's attention. Strong ending because
call to action.
That's what a lot of people will remember.
Yeah, the call to action. Why are you talking to them? What do you want them to do? Strong call to action in the end is a great thing.
How many, because this would be important to a lot of people who would think about, you know, joining Toastmasters. How many people are there at a typical meeting? I mean, is it 15 or is it 150?
That's a very fair question. We've got a smaller club, and we usually have anywhere between 6 to 10, but we've had up to 15 to 20 before at a meeting. It's preferable to have that 8 to 10 when you're first starting out, so you're a little more comfortable, you get to know people. And once you realize that they're all there to help you, you get very comfortable very quickly.
I agree, especially if you're starting out. It's right. A lot easier to, it may not be easy, but it's easier to speak to a smaller group than to, you know, if you're looking out at a whole sea of people and you're standing there in front of a microphone, you know, it's pretty easy to freeze or right. become very awkward.
Right. And there are opportunities as you grow and are ready for it to go to speak at a area meeting, for example, or a division meeting. Mm-hmm. And so you can grow your audience size as you get more comfortable, if that's what you desire to do.
So who does the critiquing at your twice-a-month meetings?
We all do. It's the same thing. We assign roles to be evaluators, and that way during the meeting you watch a certain particular person or a group of people doing a certain thing, and then you get to evaluate that at the end of the meeting. You give a written or a verbal report. Again, we're trying to maximize the number of people that can speak at a meeting.
Mm-hmm. So you would be learning then through the months of meetings, you would be learning how to be a good evaluator.
Mm-hmm.
Probably also be learning how to take constructive criticism in an appropriate manner, huh?
Yes, that's something that it's nice to learn how to be able to do that and realize that they're doing it for the purpose of helping you. And they are human, though, so they may not say it exactly the way you would like to hear it, but sometimes you need to hear it anyway. And then when you give a chance to give somebody feedback, it's your chance to learn how to do it properly also.
Which do you prefer, a prepared speech or an impromptu?
Well, some of my prepared speeches almost go impromptu because I get ideas when I'm on stage, mm-hmm. and I just sometimes can go with them to a different area. And that's why it's nice to not have the middle always memorized. But then I got to remember to come back at the end and make that closing. So I would probably have to say an impromptu would be my favorite.
Mm. We may have a listener with a question for us here. Let me see. Caller, this is Dave. You have a question for our guest? I guess not. 283-2525 is our number. If you have a question, 283-2525. What about, in today's day and age, PowerPoint seems to be very important if you're giving a presentation as opposed to just a talk. Mm. I have attended presentations in recent years where a person was using PowerPoint and they, I don't know whether they were just horribly unorganized or they didn't know how to do it or what, but it became more of a distraction than anything else. Do you offer tips for using a PowerPoint at Early Bird Toastmasters?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Toastmasters has got these 11 pathways they've now designed to bring people into the new age of not just speaking but using the computers and using PowerPoints, online meeting management. And you can design a pathway that would take you down that point of how do you use the PowerPoint properly, effectively, so you're not putting your audience to sleep. But there are some do's and don'ts. For example, you shouldn't have more than 3 lines of text on a slide,
mm-hmm.
and only 3 to 4 words per line if you can. And you use that as a reminder, but you're supposed to talk extemporaneously. I can't say that word. But you talk about the slide instead of just reading what's on the slide.
You, our listeners can't see you, but I can. You make effective use of gestures even when you're talking to me. That's another important point when you're giving a presentation, even before a small group of people.
It's interesting when you break down an evaluation of someone, their words are probably only 25% of the message. What someone says is about 25%. How they say it, the voice inflection, their facial expression, is probably another 25 to 35%. But then the music that comes out of them while they're speaking, that their whole body language is almost 40 to 50% of the message. So it's important when you're up there on stage that you have to have a gesture and a facial expression that matches your tone, and that's what we've been able to do over the last 17 years with me.
You've mentioned a number of areas, Walt, in just our brief conversation here, whether it's effective use of gestures or PowerPoint or tone of voice. There are actually hundreds of different competencies which Toastmasters can help people obtain.
Yes, in the 11 pathways, they've identified about 300 real-life competencies that you can utilize in the workplace to give you a competitive advantage, to build self-confidence, self-awareness. There's a lot of competencies that we use, and we become good at using them by practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if you decided that you wanted to join Toastmasters, you could come to a meeting or two and see what happens and then decide that you wanted to join?
Yes, and you don't have to be an early bird and come Saturday mornings. They are all over Pittsburgh and a few around the Butler County area that you can check. If you go to Toastmasters.org and you plug in your zip code, they can give you the time and the places of places around you where you might be able to go to a meeting. But we sure would hope you come and at least check us out mm-hmm. on the 26th and see if it's an exciting thing to get involved with.
Good opportunity for networking and making new acquaintances as well.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's been business done. We've had people that will claim that they got an interview and or got a job because of Toastmasters. We have people that want to become professional speakers, which is what I'm joining for. We actually have a gal that's a blind gal, October, in our group right now, and she wants to help people learn how to read Braille. And so she wants to get the skill sets that she can teach that to other people. And that's why she joined. So various reasons why people join in.
And how nice to be able to receive constructive criticism and evaluation from your talk, even if you're just reading something or, you know, giving a quick impromptu speech, to be able to get evaluation from people that you begin to know after
right.
you've been to a few meetings and you've got the same, you know, 10, 15 people there. You get a little bit more comfortable with getting an evaluation from them. I mean, after all, you're not trying to hurt somebody's feelings. You're trying to help them become more comfortable.
Right. It's a positive learning environment. That's part right in our mission statement. It creates a nice, comfortable place to learn. Sometimes we have nervous tics. For example, we had a gentleman that just liked to turn his wedding ring while he talked,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't realize he was doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just distracted because his hands were distracting and moving. Once he learned about it, he was able to just keep his hands to the side, and he became a better, effective communicator.
Mm, boy, yeah. All good stuff. You meet at 7:30 in the morning. Is it permissible to have a cup of coffee while you're going through a meeting? Because
that would
be very necessary for me at that hour.
You can bring your own, and we make it there. Yeah, we have snacks and coffee for sure every meeting. Yeah. Right.
Once again, if you joined us a little bit late, there's an opportunity to see what happens at an Early Bird Toastmasters Club meeting here in Butler. And go over the details, Walt, if you would, for that open house you got coming up.
Yes, it'll be at 7:30 a.m. We'll have an open house. We're going to have a sample speech, do some table topics, and give everybody a chance to see what it's about, do some evaluations. And we'll be meeting at 10:26. That's October 26th, Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. That's our early bird time until about 9 o'clock. And we hope you all come out, see what it looks like, see how it is, have some fun, and learn something.
Good to see you, Walt. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me on, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to talk to you about the Early Bird Toastmasters Club here in Butler. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with Melissa Leedy from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. We're also going to get some information on flu shots coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn on WISR. So stick with us. We will be back for more in just a couple of minutes.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Welcome your fall morning with the best fall breakfast at Michael's Restaurant. In the fall, mornings are chilly and you just don't want to get up. But head to Michael's Restaurant and savor their pumpkin pancakes, cornmeal mush, or their popular buckwheat pancakes. Breakfast lovers, it's worth getting out of bed for. I promise.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. And we welcome back with us Melissa Leedy from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Hi, Melissa. How you doing?
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, sure. Good to talk with you again. Melissa is
absolutely
member accounts executive with the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, which covers a pretty large footprint, by the way, does it not, Melissa?
It does. We're all the way from the McKnight Quarter in North Hills through Cranberry and Zilly and Opal, according all around Wexford, Cranberry. We all go all the way up into Butler, to Ross, to Camlis.
We're also going to be chatting a little bit later in our segment here with a representative from St. Barnabas Health System about the importance of getting a flu shot. So Michelle Snyder is scheduled to join us a little bit later on this segment. Let me first of all ask you, Melissa, about the, you have a social media workshop coming up later this week, if I've got my dates correct. Is that right?
That's right. So actually it's tomorrow. But through our HYPE committee, which is Helping Young Professionals Excel. So it's really geared to younger business professionals who are just entering the field or have only been in there for a couple of years, and they could use some help making their social media profiles professional, both their professional pages and their personal pages.
Mm-hmm. Well, social media, boy, you got to be skilled in that these days if you're going to be successful, right?
Absolutely. And it's becoming, a lot of employers are coming to us and saying, hey, we have all these people who we want to hire, but maybe their online image isn't what we're looking for. So that's why we created this workshop. It's free for all of our members, just to be more educated on what you're putting on the internet and who is potentially seeing that information.
I'm certainly no expert in this area, but I would imagine that a lot of people created a social media profile when they were in their teenage years, perhaps. And that had better change a lot when you get into your career. You're not going to put the same thing in your profile as you did when you were 16 or 17 years old, or you better not, anyway.
Absolutely. And a lot of it's what maybe you're tagged in, maybe even something that you didn't post, but someone tagged you in, that people can see, photos, things that you've liked, different pages that maybe you shouldn't be liking in the business world. So we're going to kind of go over all of that. We have two guest speakers who are educated and well-versed in how to present yourself well on social media. So they are going to be talking in depth about what you put online and maybe what you don't put online to be the most professional that you can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a good workshop to attend. Are there still openings, even though it's coming up tomorrow? Can somebody still get into that?
Yep, absolutely. We have an open door policy when it comes to that. So definitely, if you know of anyone in your business who is a young professional or you are yourself, we would love to have you come out and be a part of it.
And where will that workshop take place tomorrow evening?
Sure, it's going to be at our corporate headquarters. It is right off Route 19 on Brooktree Road from 5 to 7 p.m.
And that is tomorrow, Thursday.
Correct.
You have a meet and move luncheon coming up in the not-too-distant future. Here we are. You look at the calendar. My goodness, it's the 9th of October already, Melissa. Your next meet and move is in early November, I believe.
Yeah, so it's coming up on November 4th. We usually do about three of these a year, and there's definitely a chamber member favorite. They look forward to them every year. So this time, we are partnering with the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. So all of our members and the Butler County Chamber members get an enhanced network because we're partnering together. We're meeting at the Pittsburgh North Cranberry Marriott, and that's at 11:30.
And this is a progressive luncheon. What does that mean?
So that means it's a little bit like speed dating, if you've ever heard of that, but for businesses. So there'll be open networking the first half hour, and then we'll all eat lunch. And then after that, we'll start the table rotation. You have about 2 minutes each to present, tell us about yourself, your business, who you want to network with, what would be a great referral for you. And then you'll rotate to another table with 7 new faces, and then rotate one more time. So you have the opportunity to talk to 21 different business representatives for an extended length of time, and networking before and afterwards. Usually get between 60 to 100 representatives that come to our meetings and lunches.
How can you register for that luncheon coming up on the 4th?
You can register on our website at pghnorthchamber.com and click on the calendar app on that date, November 4th, and that'll get your registration.
Well, I think we're about to be joined by our representative from St. Barnabas Health System. So let us take a quick break here, and then we'll be back, and we'll be talking a little bit about the importance of getting a flu shot this fall. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISI. We'll be back in just a moment. In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goin Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. From trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Goin Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Goin Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Goin Postal Butler. Welcome back. It's the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. We're chatting with Melissa Leedy from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, and we're joined now by Michelle Snyder, who is the director of the Medical Center for St. Barnabas Health System. Michelle, nice to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
We've seen some national stories on the wire and on the news over the past couple of weeks, in particular about this being a flu shot season. So let's talk about that a little bit. Why do you at St. Barnabas recommend everyone getting a flu shot this year?
Well, we recommend that everyone gets a flu shot every year. And a lot of people think about just themselves, you know, getting the flu. But also we need to worry about our loved ones, especially those that are higher risk, such as children, elderly people, pregnant women, and people that are sick, you know, with compromised immune systems. So it's important not only to protect ourselves, but those people too. And a lot of people forget that. And also it reduces time from work due to illness, which averages 3 to 5 days, which many people can't afford to be off, you know, especially if they're not paid for those days.
Mm-hmm. I just saw a story. Actually, we used it yesterday here on WISR. We saw it on the wire that Australia had a particularly severe flu season, and they're, of course, just coming out of the flu season because, you know, it's the beginning of springtime in Australia. Their seasons are just the opposite from ours. And the last time that Australia had a particularly severe flu season, we followed up with severe flu here in the U.S. So a lot of people at the Centers for Disease Control are issuing a warning that it could be a bad one. Now's the time to get your flu shot, right, Michelle?
That is correct. And, I mean, peak activity is usually between December and February. It can last into May even. So it takes about 2 weeks for immunity to build in the system. So I would say, you know, if you haven't gotten your flu shot, you should get it. I would always say be prepared for a bad flu season. There's no way to really predict it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would always say just be cautious and you know, let's hope we don't have a bad flu season. But if we do and you have your flu shot, at least you are protected, you know, against those strains that they have included. And we'll talk a little more about, you know, if you get one every year, you know, you do build some immunity to the other vaccines that you've had in the past.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because some people think that it's, you know, they might remember polio shot, or if they're of a certain age, a smallpox vaccine. It's different with a flu shot. You really do need one every year, don't you?
You do, and what happens is everybody's immune system is different. However, every year that you get a flu shot, and the CDC determines every year, you know, which flu strains they're going to include based on previous years. But when they change that strain, if you had previous flu shots, it doesn't wear off necessarily. It does, you know, wean off eventually, but some people's immune systems, you know, they retain that. So every year that you get one, you could be, you know, protected against, you know, multiple strains. So it is important every year. And then getting your flu shot annually, you know, strengthens your immunity for the upcoming flu season. You know, boost your immune for that particular season.
You know, I didn't know. I thought I knew everything there was to know about flu shots. I didn't know
that. Studies are there that show that. You know, it's not conclusive, but that's why, you know, they do recommend, because everybody's immune system is different, and some people retain that immunity over the years. So
why are you folks at the St. Barnabas Health System? Why are you partnering up with the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber?
Well, St. Barnabas likes to be a good community partner in the areas where we have, you know, retirement living, living assistance, golf courses, and we work closely with the various chambers in Allegheny, Beaver, and Butler counties where we have operations. And the chamber helps to introduce us to business people that might need our services today or in the future. And whether they need our, you know, retirement living, living assistance, or even just to host a golf outing, or, you know, offer a flu shot clinic to their employees, the chamber helps us to get in front of, you know, thousands of potential customers.
Does St. Barnabas offer flu shot clinics in various locations over the next month or two?
We do. We offer, you know, workplace flu clinics, which, you know, hassle-free for the employers. It helps to reduce, again, sick time. You know, insurance companies pay for those vaccines. You know, we come in, you know, basically the employers just give us, you know, let the employees know when we're going to be there and give us a space. And, you know, they bring their insurance cards and we give them their vaccines. We do all the billing. And it's a hassle-free clinic for employers to do that. And it reduces time lost due to illness as well.
Most insurance plans will cover your flu shot?
Yes, since, you know, all the health insurances now do cover that at 100%. I'd say 99% of the insurance companies pay it. So, you know, no cost to the employer or the employee, and it, again, you know, protects them against the flu and lost time from work. We also do independent living, apartment buildings, and things like that, too.
What about for seniors? Does Medicare cover flu shots?
They do at 100%.
Mm-hmm. So no reason from a financial standpoint
there really
not
isn't,
to get one.
No.
Yeah.
And we just recently started offering flu shot Fridays here at our medical center in Gibsonia for patients with no insurance. They can come in here, walk in Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30 to get a flu shot. But on Fridays, if you don't have insurance, we're happy to offer a flu shot for just $15.
Some people still think that you can get the flu from getting a flu shot. That's absolutely false, right?
It is false. The virus that they use now is not a live virus. There is one nasal that is live. So you do have, not necessarily to get the flu, but a lot of the side effects that potentially are flu-like symptoms. But the vaccine injectable is definitely not a live vaccine. A lot of times it's just coincidental. You know, they're just feeling under the weather. I mean, normally you do have a little bit of a little ache in the site where you got your shot, and that's typical, but that usually only lasts a day or two, and it's just, you know, a little bit of soreness.
I got my flu shot last week, and, you know, it was sore for like 2 hours, and then that was it.
You know? It typically doesn't, you know, but, you know, that's usually the only side effect that somebody might get.
I thought I read a story last year, and maybe I'm wrong on this. I thought I read a story that that nasal thing, especially for kids, was not all that effective. Do I remember that correctly?
That is, there have been studies that show that, and also with the fact that you do have a higher risk of side effects from that.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation is actually to get the injection.
We're chatting with Michelle Snyder, director of the Medical Center for St. Barnabas Health System. What else, Michelle, can St. Barnabas provide besides flu shots?
Well, we offer a full-service outpatient primary care office right here in Gibsonia, and we also have multiple specialists right here in one location. We're open to the public. You know, you don't have to be a resident of St. Barnabas to come to us. We participate with most insurances, including UPMC and Highmark. We recently started offering house calls in our immediate area from our certified registered nurse practitioner to care for patients that are homebound or too ill to get into the office. So that's a service that, you know, we're really excited that we're able to offer. We also have a full-service dental office, a home care, hospice, outpatient physical therapy, including aqua therapy at our pool.
You mentioned when talking about the flu that in many cases children and the elderly are particularly vulnerable. Can you expand on that, Michelle? Why would that be? Why would it be particularly
their immune
dangerous?
Systems are not either, you know, in the young children they're not fully developed, or in the elderly they're not as active as they were. And pregnant women, you know, also are at a higher risk. And the flu shot's especially important for them because, you know, there is the higher risk of hospitalization or, unfortunately, even death. So it's especially important for those people to get vaccinated. And anybody, not only, like I said, to protect yourself from the flu, but if you do have loved ones that are in that situation, if you're infected, then you could pass that on to somebody that is a higher risk patient. So it is very important for everybody to get vaccinated.
Are there any medical conditions that would preclude you getting a flu shot? Seems to me, I can remember some years ago, they used to ask if you were allergic to eggs, but they haven't asked me that in recent years. What's the deal on that, Michelle?
Well, there is a tiny amount of egg in the vaccine. The CDC still actually recommends, and, you know, if you get anything worse than hives, then they do have a special flu shot that you could obtain, you know, that does not include eggs. But they're saying primarily that, you know, even the one with the tiny amount of egg is still safe, you know, for people to get. There are some medical conditions that, you know, you may not want to get a flu shot, but that would be up to your doctor. It's a very rare that somebody should not get a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many kids are afraid of getting a shot. I don't know why that is. I mean, it's like a pinprick and it's over, you know? What's the big deal?
Well, I'm not sure what that is. I will say for us, we have many adults that are afraid of needles, and we, you know, we personally at this office opt to get a little more of expensive needle to, you know, very sharp, and the pinprick, you know, makes the getting the shot, you know, a lot. A lot of people say, I didn't even feel that, you know. I think sometimes it's just, you know, a matter of maybe somebody had, you know, a bad experience, or, you know, just there's just a fear. Some people just have that fear, and it's hard to get around that. But, you know, it's once if somebody gets the flu, you know, the flu shot itself seems, you know, minimal compared to actually getting the flu. So it's hard.
Close your eyes, count to 10, and it's all over. One final question, Michelle, because a lot of people don't realize this. They think that the flu is, you know, kind of like a bad cold. The flu can be fatal, and people have to know this.
It is. And, you know, you get the flu, and especially, you know, it turns into pneumonia, and then you end up in the hospital. It really can be dangerous. And, you know, a healthy adult with a good immune system typically would get over it, you know, with no problems. And, you know, like I said, people with compromised immune systems or illnesses like cancer, you know, it's dangerous for them to get the flu. So we're lucky that we have vaccines. You know, epidemics of the flu, you know, killed thousands or hundreds of thousands of people in the past. So
I just got a news release this morning from the State Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine, and she said last year in Pennsylvania there were more than 122,000 cases of flu confirmed statewide and 258 deaths. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that the number of cases of the flu is probably a lot higher than that, but that's just the confirmed number. Those are pretty startling statistics. So
unfortunately, it's a statistic that's going to happen, you know, especially in the elderly population or, you know, people with compromised immune systems. It's just unfortunately is a matter of it's never going to be, you know, we're never going to have complete immunity, even if you get a flu shot, you know. But, you know, we can only do our part and try to, you know, avoid it by getting our flu shot and practicing good, you know, hygiene, washing our hands after we're out in public and, you know, things of that nature, you know. Just be careful with handling or going out in public or, you know, wash your hands, especially use your hand sanitizer, but washing your hands is definitely the best prevention. Cough into a tissue, always have tissues around, and try not to spread any illnesses. If you don't know sometimes if you have a cold or the flu, just use good practice, you know.
And get your flu shot as soon as you can, because it takes a couple of weeks to become effective.
Yeah, about 2 weeks, yeah. So people typically start really, you know, in mid-September, and it's not too late ever. You know, even if you hadn't had a flu shot, you can still get a flu shot in January because the flu can run, you know, into May.
Good advice from Michelle Snyder. She's the director of the Medical Center at St. Barnabas Health Systems, and they're partnering up with Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber to make sure everybody is aware of the importance of getting a flu shot. I have a couple of more topics to discuss with Melissa Leedy, but Michelle, we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us, okay?
Thank you so much.
Sure. So long now.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break. I want to talk to Melissa again for a couple of minutes when we return with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR on this Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem, the bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us,
the bus.
We're going your way.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
One of our sponsors on It's Your Turn today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler, celebrating this month the 16th anniversary of their moving the thrift store to the Greater Butler Mart. And boy, how convenient is that? Greater Butler Mart, Route 8, just south of Butler. Plenty of free parking right outside the door. It's so easy to donate unwanted items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. They'll sell those items. Some people will be able to use them at a price they might not ordinarily be able to afford. And best of all of the revenue, every penny generated from the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store stays here in Butler County to help fund their food bank services and their client aid program. So thanks to all. Thanks to all the organizations and the businesses and the donors and the individuals and the churches and the thrift store customers who have helped support the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, especially over the last 16 years since their move. They like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart. A couple of more questions for Melissa Leedy, who visits with us from the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Melissa, you have a health and wellness fair coming up next month. We ought to make sure that people are aware of that.
Absolutely. So that's on Monday, November 11th. That is actually Veterans Day. Our theme for health and wellness is all surrounding honoring our veterans. So the first 100 veterans that attend our event get a free gift, and the event is open and free to the public.
And where will that be held?
It's going to be at the Cranberry Township Municipal Center, and the time is from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Still a possibility for a vendor to sign up for a table at that event?
Yes, there is. There's also going to be a blood drive during the event. So if you are able to give blood, we are always looking for more people to sign our form saying that they're able and they want to sign up for a time slot to give blood on that day. We are working with the American Red Cross, and they are partnering with us to be able to provide blood to everyone in the local area. As you know, we do have a blood shortage, so we are looking for people who are willing and able on the 11th to donate for our area.
Coming up next week, Melissa, you have a business after hours showcase. What's that all about?
Yeah, so we usually do about 2 business after hours a month. It's a little bit more special when we have a showcase. That means that you're able to have a vendor table if you would like. If you are a member, it's only $50. If you're not a member, it's $100. And we're going to be meeting at Just In Time Catering, and it's from 5 to 7 p.m. So it's a very nice venue. Great food and great conversations with a lot of local business professionals.
And also coming up in the next week or so, you have a member benefits orientation. When will that take place?
Sure, that's on Thursday, October 17th. It's from 1 to 2:30, and that is going to be located at our Wexford headquarters, which is right off of Route 19. We're across from Whole Foods. And so if you're interested in membership, you want to learn more, or if you're a current member and you would like a refresher course or a way to kind of focus what energy you're putting into the chamber and what you're looking to get out of it, this would be a great free event for you to check out, learn more, see what's happening in our area. So,
sounds good. Melissa Leedy is the Member Accounts Executive for the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Melissa, it's always nice to talk with you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Dave, for having me again. It's always fun.
And thanks for bringing Michelle Schneider along, too. She had some valuable tips for us there on flu shots. We'll talk to you again next time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, that wraps up our program for today. Hope you can be with us tomorrow. I'm looking forward to chatting with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, scheduled to visit with us here in the studio on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
An ever-living rare quality. Now show me a girl.